Last week we began a study on foundation issues. We showed you some pictures of some cracks where they begin to appear on the outside and the inside of a house caused by differential shift, where a slab has not been properly prepared. We talked about the need to remove the material that's not as stable and bring in a fill material. And we deal with one particular fill material essential to building a stable spiritual foundation. And last week we talked about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord being the very foundation of wisdom, and how important it is to bring in the understanding of the fill of the Lord and pound it in till it becomes compacted to where you think of the fear of God before you speak. You think of the fear of God before you react, to where the fear of God is a foundation in your life, guiding you in your reaction. And we gain this fear of the Lord by being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's what was promised through the prophet Ezekiel. The Lord says, I will put my spirit in them and cause them to fear my name for their own good. So we talked about that element. And I want to bring in another element essential to a stable foundation for a spiritual life today. Today, let's talk about the fellowship of the saints and what that is. Now, I want you to know, you see what that nice little pile of bricks there? Fellowship is not just being in the pile for a while. I want you to think about that. You see how they look nice and joined together? But they're in a pile. You know what that makes it possible for to do? Let's say I have an intention to build a wall with that pile of bricks, but someone else comes along and he sees those bricks and he thinks, I want a walkway. All he's got to do is reach out and take a couple of those bricks, put them in his little wheelbarrow, and he's going to put them in a walkway. And another guy comes along and says, you know what? I want to build a fire pit. I think I'm going to take a couple of those bricks and I'm going to use them over here in a fire pit. See, there's a lot of people who come and they sit in church just like a brick. They're in the pile for a while, but then they're gone. Someone just snatches them away and they're gone. See, there is a difference between being in the pile for a while and being cemented together. You see the difference? You know, when you take a brick from the pile, and if you want to put it in a place where it's not going to move, you put some mortar down, don't you? And you set that brick in this bed of mortar, and you stick a little on this side, and you stick a little on this side, and you put two other bricks beside it, and you put it right there, so that there, on either side, it's got a brick underneath, and then what do you do on top of that? You put another bed of mortar, and you put bricks on top. Now, once a brick has been cemented into a wall, no one's going to come along and just snatch it up and use it for their own purposes, because it's been cemented into a relationship with other people. That's being connected spiritually, being cemented into a spiritual fellowship where you're not trying to live this Christian life on your own. You have a brother and sister on either side. You have brothers and sisters under you. You have brothers and sisters over you. And everyone working together, cemented together, is stronger than just being in a pile on top of one another. You see the difference? So we need to learn to be cemented together, bonded together in unity. Acts chapter 4 describes the early church in this way. Now the multitude of those who believe became of one heart. Notice they became of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. All things were in common. Now, this word in common, let's look at that. The word for in common actually comes from the Greek word koinos. It's where we get the English word coin, because a coin was one of the most common things that you exchanged. It's where we get the word fellowship from, koinonia. It's because it has this idea of sharing that which is in common, a partnership or a community. Common plus unity is community. That's the idea of this idea of fellowship, being cemented together, being connected to one another as a group of saints. Now, what is the common unity of a group of saints? What is it that we share in common? What is the bonding material? What is the mortar that holds us together? Because some of us look different. You part your hair. Well, some of you don't have hair. Some of them, but you part your hair in a different way. Some of you have a different body shape. You dress in a different style. You listen to a different type of music. You come from a different background. You have different experience. You're a different race. So what is it? What is it that it's our common unity? Okay, what is that? What binds us together in one heart and mind? Well, let's look at what it's not first. Sam began to say it. Let's look. The mortar is the binding agent that binds us together is the mutual love for Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel. That's the one thing we need to all have in common. We love Jesus. And we love the truth of the gospel. So we may look different. We may come from a different background. We may have started this life when we were early, or we may just beginning this life. But wherever we are, we share one thing in common. We love Jesus Christ. That's our bond. Here's what it's not. I have a picture of what it's not. It's not this. It's not this secular, soulish love. That's not that I'm okay. No judgment. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. All inclusive. Accept me on my terms. You okay? It's not that. That's what this generation sought. That generation sought that to do. Yeah, go ahead and put that picture back up there. Thank you, Sam. This generation tried that. 1960s, right? What do they call these people? Flower children? Hey, hippies? Well, here's what the scripture says. The flower fades. The grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of the Lord. They didn't build what they were seeking. They sought this oneness in society. But that oneness is not what we're not seeking. An I'm okay, you're okay. Our unity must be the love of Jesus Christ and the love of the truth. It must be. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You see that? That's a condition. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. So what does it mean if we're not walking in the light? We don't have fellowship. I'm sorry. You can't walk in the dark and another person walk in the light and the two of you have fellowship. The fellowship we're talking about is those who are walking in Jesus Christ. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will never walk in darkness. They will have the light of life. And only by walking in Jesus Christ can we have fellowship. We understand that? Okay, we'll make that clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says this. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You see, you can try to be unequally yoked. It's possible a married couple can be a believer and an unbeliever. You can have good friends that are a believer, an unbeliever, and in a way, there is a difference there that it makes that relationship very difficult. Paul says, do not be yoked together. A believer and an unbeliever should not be yoked together. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? What do light and darkness have in common? There are different elements. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul said, "For you were once darkness." It is how we all were. And we need to remember that, because someone, it may take someone a while to come to the light. Let's remember that. And let's not be impatient if they're coming to the light. We were once darkness ourselves. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. So for us, those that are here who are in Christ, we need to be walking as children of the light. Then we can have fellowship. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And he goes on, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So we shouldn't be having anything in common. Fellowship is to share in common. We shouldn't have in common the things of the unfruitful works of darkness. For example, you know, country music can have some beautiful songs. Country music is a style. But the certain messages should not resonate with us. I'm sorry, but I don't got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases. I'm sorry. I don't got friends there. And I don't want another tequila sunrise. And you can't put your shoes under my bed anytime. I'm sorry. I don't want anything to do with that. That's a message I'm rejecting. Not the style of music. It's the message. There's a message I don't want anything to do with. Because that we've seen what it's doing in our society. Our homes are being ripped apart by marital unfaithfulness. This idea that you just, sex is something that's more like an animal. Just go for what you see. We shouldn't have anything to do with that. We should walk in the light. As he is in the light, then we can have fellowship. We expose the fruitless deeds of darkness. No one walking in darkness will be able to have fellowship with those who are walking in the light. I can tell you, when someone is walking in darkness, they are not comfortable around us. Amen. There's just something. They know they're out of place. They feel like a fish out of water. They're almost afraid. You know, if you're walking in the light and you're doing what's pleasing to God, you're not afraid of anybody seeing. What if there was a video cam on me this last week? Videoing me the entire week, and suddenly what was the sermon for today was God was going to say, "I'm going to show the congregation your entire week." I wouldn't be scared at all. I wouldn't be scared at all. I live my life with the eyes of the Lord upon me. And I'm not afraid for anyone to see what I've been doing and what I've been saying. I'm walking in the light. I don't have anything to hide. I can drive by the policeman and wave. I'm glad to see him. I can go up to him at the restaurant and say, "Thank you. I appreciate what you're doing." I'll give him my, "Hey, you want to see my driver's license? Sure. Here's my Social Security." "Yeah, sure." Yeah, I'm walking in the light. I'm glad they're out there. You know, but someone's not walking in the light, there's just going to be an awkwardness. Fellowship is not possible unless we're walking in the light together. Listen to the prayer of Jesus in John 17. "I pray for them," talking about his disciples. "I do not pray for the world." Have you ever noticed that? Jesus is praying for his disciples and he's not praying for the world. In this particular prayer, this is where he's at. This is his focus. Because he's thinking about those that are his. He's thinking about their lives. It's not like he doesn't care about the world, but at this time, what's on his heart is he knows he's about to leave his disciples. So they're on his heart. So he's, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them. Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one." You see what is on his heart? He wants his disciples to become as one with him and the Father as he and the Father are. That's a pretty special fellowship, isn't it? Isn't the fellowship between Jesus and his Father pretty perfect? That's the goal right there, that we have the same kind of fellowship with Jesus and the Father as he himself and the Father has. And he goes on, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. And one time the Lord showed me what that joy was. You know what the joy of Jesus was? It was his fellowship with his Father. That's the secret of Jesus. His joy in life was his fellowship with his Father. So that the joy, my joy may be fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and what has happened? The world has hated them. You see, the world's not walking in the light. The world doesn't agree with the Father like Jesus agrees with the Father. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That's the oneness. He's saying, I'm praying that we can become one like the Father and the Son. Wow. That's agreement. Jesus never disagreed with his Father. Jesus understood why his Father gave a command. Jesus understood his Father was perfect goodness. Jesus understood his Father would never require something of someone that was bad for them. Jesus knew his Father's heart perfectly. And if we come to that oneness, we love his word. We love his protection. We love his correction. We don't want to be left to ourselves. We want his guidance. That's the oneness that produces fellowship with each other. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. When we are not one, we're sending a pretty poor message to the world, aren't we? We fight over the color of carpets, or how many songs should be in a service, or you know, whether we need to have Sunday school first or church first. You know what I mean? That's why we don't do those things. We seek to bear with one another. We seek a oneness to show the world that though we are very different, God has produced in us something. He's made us a family. We don't have to be the same to be beautifully one in an orchestra. You know what makes an orchestra beautiful? The fact that there are many different instruments all tuned to the same pitch. They sound different, but it's not a conflict. They all complement each other. Let me say this, every one of you, I am glad that you are who you are. I don't want you to not be who you are. I just don't want you walking in darkness. We can fellowship with your personality and God, your uniqueness, your beauty, who you are. That's okay. Just don't take who you are and walk in darkness. We can fellowship. We can be one. We can be different and complement one another in a beautiful way. Jesus went on to say, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. See, there's one group that we're not going to be able to get along with, and that is the world. Those not walking in Jesus Christ. We're not going to get along. If they're living contrary to God's word, how can we have fellowship? Remember, Jesus is praying that we be one like he and the Father are one. Would Jesus ever say, how dare you say I can't do that? But what about that person that says, I don't care what God's word said, I'm going to live this way? You can't have fellowship. That you can't do that. That's not oneness with the Father. So we're not going to find that with the world. We can only find that with those who are living in Christ, being led by His Spirit, walking in the light together. If you were of the world, the world would love its own. Hey, they're okay. It's okay for them to say, see, you're not in trouble with the world if you say, hey, whatever works for you. Hey, if that works for you, fine. But when do you become in trouble with the world? Do you remember Jesus said to his own brothers, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because. And he named the because. Why did the world hate him? And what happens to us when we actually do what Jesus did? He said, the world hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. That's when you cross the line. You don't tell me that what I'm doing is wrong. That's when they say, No. You don't have the right to tell me that. You're judging me. Does a newspaper boy judge anybody? You know, we're just newspaper boys. We're not the editors, right? Do we write the book? Any of you had a hand in writing the Bible? So if you're just telling some people what the paper says, like you're delivering the paper to their front door, their beef is not with you, is it? It's not with you. You're just being a faithful witness. But even being a faithful witness, Jesus reminds us, if the world doesn't like you because of what I say, remember, it didn't like me for what I said. We're not going to be able to be one with the world. We can love the world. We can care for them and bear with them and hope for them and speak the truth to them. They may not like it. And they may treat us like they treated Jesus. Okay? But yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And then 1 John, 2nd chapter. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You ever thought about, I want you to think about, why would he say that? If anyone loves the world, well, wait a minute. Jesus said the world hates those that have been called out of the world. So how can someone who's been called out of the world still love the world? Think about it. If you're loving the things of the world, John says, the love of the Father is not in you. You haven't experienced the change. You still must be of the world. That's why the things of the Father are not natural to you. Because you can't love the world or the things of the world and the love of the Father be in you. So that's what he's saying. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Okay, so let's wrap this up. The common unity of a church, of a group of believers, is the love for Jesus. And can I say something? When I say the love of Jesus and the Father, you cannot separate Jesus the person from Jesus and His Word. What do you think about that? Let me give you an illustration. A preacher, his name is David Pawson. He's a British pastor. He wrote a book on hell. And he did it just in the last few years. And that's not a very popular topic. England has become primarily a secular nation, very little professing believers. Although it was once the stronghold of the missionary movement, England sent more missionaries into the world than nearly any country at one time. But now it's very few Christians in the United Kingdom. So this book stirred some controversy, and he was interviewed on Christian radio. And this person on the radio pegged him with that question. It is a question. I know the person really had him set up. If God is loving, if God is love, why would He send people to hell? He just pegged him. Oh, he's just been waiting to answer that question, ask that question. Here's what David Paulson said back. Who told you God is loving? How do you know God is love? And it just took to put person back. Well, isn't that what your Bible says? You see where he got him? Took him? The same Bible that talks about God being love talks about hell. See, you don't just take what you want about God. And take that and say, I don't accept that part. Jesus said this, if anyone is ashamed of me or my words. You don't take Jesus and reject what he says. He is his word. That's who he is. He was in perfect agreement with his Father. He never said anything but what his Father told him to say. He only did what his Father led him to do. So you can't disagree with Jesus without disagreeing with his Father. That's why he said, that's why it's such a powerful place. Let's say I'm just the lowly private. That's all I am. Pastor Martin, Private Pastor Alan Martin, that's me. I'm just an enlisted man. I've been in the service a whole 2 days. I am as green can be. But the 5-star general calls me over and waves at me and says, here, I want you to take this letter to the major. So here comes little green Private Alan. I'm taking this letter to the major. And he opens it and he reads it and he goes, this is ridiculous. How dare you give this to me? Who am I? Sir, it's not my letter. The generals told me to give it to you. You see what authority that is? I don't have to be anybody. It's not my word. It's the words of Jesus. Here's what Jesus said. He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives the one who sent me. You don't disagree with what Jesus said and receive him or the Father. Our basis for fellowship must be the oneness Jesus has with his Father. That's the only way. So you know what that does? And remember, Jesus, that's why Jesus says he's praying for those that the Father gave him. And he says, out of the world. Let me describe to you what out of the world means. Another way of saying out of the world is to say set apart. You know what the biblical word for set apart is? Saint or holy one. So you know what kind of fellowship we have to be? We have to be a fellowship of holy ones. Yep, we're the holy rollers. We're not rolling, okay? But we are the fellowship that had been called out of the world to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we are. We're not against the world. We're not their enemies. What we are is we are faithful followers of our Lord. That's what we are. And that's the basis of our fellowship. And anyone is welcome to join that fellowship. But it is a fellowship of walking in the light. And when we are connected in that way, and what we're talking about is a stable life. If you want a stable Christian life that can handle the pressures of the shifting culture, let me just ask you older ones. Is our culture different than it was 30 years ago? Oh yeah. You weren't even you wouldn't even see things on TV 30 years ago that you see now, would you? And you wouldn't even be able to put your eyes on it. They wouldn't even allow it on the airways. Now they flaunt it. And they tell us, if you act like this is wrong, you're prudish. Something's wrong with you. This is normal. We don't want you putting your religious bigotry on us. Can you see why Jesus said lawlessness is increasing? It's happening. We have to maintain, this is something that our Lord said is so necessary as a part of our fellowship. We need to be innocent as doves, right? Harmless as a dove. And wise. Wise as a serpent. We need wisdom in relating to the world. We need to be honest and humble, right? We were once darkness. We were once darkness. So let's don't cop an attitude like we have somehow arrived. Let's remember we were shown mercy. And when we speak the truth in the world and we encounter opposition, let's remember to be merciful. Honest and merciful. And if we have to suffer for being truthful, let's suffer, okay? This is an invitation for this morning. I'm going to ask if just my father.